RadioInfluence.com. The future is now.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the IG Report Monday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Monday Morning Val and
Beans. It is Monday.
You think this report's actually coming out today?
Absolutely.
Okay. What time?
Today. Well, Jeff Carlson says that his friend told him that's what.
Specials that you do. Nothing. That's nothing else. Go right ahead. Keep going.
Jeff Carlson said that his friend told him that his friend told him that there's going to be like a press conference today at like where we're recording at 10 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
There's supposed to be a press conference at around noon, I believe, and then the report is supposed to come out at 1.
Heard it from a friend who...
Heard it from a friend who...
Heard it from somebody else that the IG report is coming out. Oh,
what a weekend.
Hey, I guess I won't know anything until about Wednesday then, because if it doesn't come out for another couple hours or so... then it's time for the diggers to start digging, and I'm going to have to just work off of Cliff Notes after the diggers start digging, people like you.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't probably have any reason to have a substantial conversation about it until Wednesday.
Well, okay. So some reports are 700 pages. Some reports are 1,000 pages. The Clinton report was 500 pages. I will be honest, I'm going to read every single word of this thing from start to finish. Literally every word. Every footnote, every argument, the table of contents, literally everything. Because I've been trying to say, like, the most important stuff... Well, let's say this. If the conclusions are... So-and-so needs to be referred for criminal investigation. So-and-so needs to be referred for criminal investigation. This person should be fired, or if they're already... You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Then the conclusions are, you know, great and everybody will be jumping up and down. But I still stand by the fact that all of the important nonsense is in the actual pages of the report and not in the conclusion section.
Well, if the mid-year exam report or whatever the hell it was is any kind of indicator, then yeah, I wouldn't trust the conclusion section to be a big where all the bombshells are.
The thing about the mid-year exam report that nobody remembers is that Horowitz found he was tasked with investigating a specific set of things. But as he was doing that investigation, and right in the opening, before you even get into the report and the summary, he says that he found extreme bias on the part of Peter Strzok in the opening of the counterintelligence investigation and in his prioritization of that investigation over the Wiener laptop. He found bias already.
Hmm. Well, do you think that whatever was found in that, it was being held off for a year or two until subsequent probes and investigations wrapped up?
I think that went into this other investigation that he's doing. I think he took that and he coupled it in here. And again, I am not one of those people who is trying to temper expectations on this thing. So, listen, hate me if you want to. From everything I'm able to gather, this thing is going to be huge, okay? So I'm not one of those people that's like, well, you know, we don't really know what's going to be in there and blah, blah. There is no way that there is nothing incriminating in this report. There's no way. It's impossible. So, however, he can still, Horowitz, only investigate people that are currently at the Bureau. You know, he can't go outside and look at the CIA and look at the Office of Net Assessment and look at Halper. And Barr can. And Durham can. So understand, this is an investigative report about the actions the FBI took in preparing the FISA warrant for Carter Page. And it's an administrative report. It's not a criminal investigation. which is something that we've talked about the whole time.
Gotcha. Well, checking boxes. Checking boxes. You know what I was doing before we got on the air? I was writing Christmas postcards. I'm almost done with them.
Aw, you're so cute with that stuff. I love it. I love it. Do I get one?
Actually, I need to collect addresses from people like you so that I can start just doing this mass level. Yes, I need an address. I'll send you a card.
Oh, yay. I don't send Christmas cards out. Is that really bad?
Nobody really does.
Good.
I get a small handful of them every year, and it's usually from older members of my family who still keep traditions alive. But everybody, I get group texts. That's what I get. Mm-hmm. So there's that. Okay, so.
What, you don't want to talk about that anymore?
Yeah. You don't want to talk about dying traditions anymore and people that don't want to do anything?
Did you listen to our interview with Doug Weed on Friday?
I listened back to a lot of it, yeah.
Wasn't it? He's just, oh gosh. I just loved it. I just loved it. It was so good. And the best part about it was we barely spoke. That's what I love about it. Because I'll be honest, this morning, I was listening to Steve Bannon's podcast. He has a new podcast. Did you know that?
No.
He has a podcast. It's called The War Room. And it's really, really good. The podcast is really good. Like, I was listening to it this morning. I was listening to an episode from the other day with Lee Smith and some other former White House counsel that was on, and they were talking about the White House and stuff like that, and they were talking about the FISA investigation, and you ask your guest a question, right? And then you're supposed to just shut your damn mouth for a minute and let them answer. Don't interrupt them, and like, it just gets so annoying to listen to that. I just hate it.
Well, my first introduction to Steve Bannon was on Patriot 125 on Sirius. In 2016, he was hosting the morning show, the 6 to 9 a.m. morning show on Patriot 125, and he left his job to join the Trump campaign. And that's how I knew who he was, because I used to listen to him every morning. And he had pretty good ideas, and I liked where his thought process was. But as a host, he interjected a lot and he stuttered a lot, so it used to get me a little frustrated. But other than that, I thought he was a nice guy, and that's how I knew him. His broadcast side is how I actually got to know him. I didn't know who he was prior to that.
Well, I mean, again, like, I agree with everything you just said, pretty much. So we'll just leave it there. But I just don't like when people are interrupting everyone.
Doug was great. I loved sitting back. Like I said, I didn't know too much about him before he came on the show, and just from his voice and his personality, I would love. And I didn't even know what he looked like until after we got off the air, and I got to see. You know, we tagged him in the. His Twitter was tagged up in the episode description, so I actually got to see what he looked like in that. Before that, I said, this guy, I bet you anybody we can dress him up as Santa Claus. He'd be a good Santa Claus.
Sit by a fire with him and listen to him tell stories.
Hear him chuckle a little bit. He's just very, very nice guy. It's like, this is a good Santa Claus kind of guy.
He's great. So right now, Frank, as we speak right now, there are hearings going on for this nonsense and impeachment.
Yeah, with the impeachment stuff, I can't wrap my head around anything else to say. I have a few different, perspectives I want to give tonight on what's going on. But watching Jerry Nadler, this guy who otherwise, who just so talentless. You're talking about people who are talentless, that especially someone like Jerry Nadler. I can see someone like him. He should be down at Central Booking in Manhattan, soliciting his services as a public defender to vagrants who have been arrested for pissing in Times Square.
Why they don't that have to stay in jail anymore anyway? So
yeah, I know. So even that he'd be whatchamacallit, panicking. Even now,
he would be panicking. He reminds me of the guy who would sit behind either Milton from Office Space or like someone who would sit behind a desk pushing papers. Do you want to listen to a second of this, like live, without knowing what the hell they're talking about?
Sure.
All right.
Should consider articles of impeachment to remove the president from office, and it should not. This case, in many respects, comes down to 8 lines in a call transcript. Let me say clearly and unequivocally that the answer to that question is no. The record in the Democrats' impeachment inquiry does not show that President Trump abused the power of his office or obstructed Congress. To impeach a president who 63 million people voted for over 8 lines in a call transcript is baloney.
Baloney.
Democrats 7 million seek to impeach jobs. President Trump, not because
the job numbers from Friday, and you know, that's one of the things they were going over in the podcast was the fact that, Frank, these job numbers are reflecting the African Americans, Latinos, and lower income people who are now employed. Like, it's a reflection. It's the people that really need to be doing well. And you know, even what's his name? We talked about. We played the clip on Friday's show of CNBC. What's his name? The economist guy.
Kramer.
Yeah, Kramer. Saying he's never in his entire life seen a report this good before, because usually they'll have, you know, they will have downgraded the jobs numbers from the month before, or nothing in this report was bad. And everybody across the board is saying now they cannot foresee a recession anywhere in the near future.
Especially since this is all happening, as Kramer said, this is all happening with the big China question unanswered. This is with the China question unanswered. Everybody like, oh, we're have a cordial trade war. If this is how we're doing with during a trade war with China, can you imagine what happens once we have some kind of a deal that is a little bit more beneficial in a domestic sense?
In the USMCA.
What else is going to come on back? What else is really going to come on back here? You know, and as far as the USMCA, what I have read so far, the footnotes, it looks definitely better than NAFTA.
Much better.
Although, you know, I think that eventually would be better to roll back things even more. But, that's the only thing that chases business out of the country is regulation and taxes inside of the country. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, if we do right by American consumers and American manufacturers and job creators, you don't have to worry about, or at least as much, the people out there who try to screw with world markets and all that. We should be completely sustainable energy wise and food wise. We should be able to do that all on our own. People should be pandering to us for attention.
People are coming here in droves with their businesses, trying to, you know, even from all the other countries, which there was a worry that the currency would be inflated, you know, just a little bit because of all that competition to come here, because it's the only place on the planet right now that's doing well. On the same day as these jobs numbers came out, our neighbor to the north, Canada, released their jobs report, and they're out 75,000 jobs, which I believe if you equate it to the number of jobs in the United States, it's like millions of jobs in the United States on that scale.
Actually, I saw that breakdown with the numbers, and with 71,000 jobs lost in Canada, because their population is only 35 million compared to our 325 million people, 71,000 jobs lost is equivalent to us losing 500,000 jobs. And this is one of the sniveling little quizzlings that thought that they're having their little high school mean girls moment behind Trump's back, as if anybody should care. You have Emmanuel Macron out there who is presiding over a country that has been in open revolt since last November. Okay, and now they have this other strike. They have this public transportation strike going on. They have been, the Yellow Vest movement has been, despite the fact that the media has tried to avoid all coverage of it, they have been in revolt in the streets since November 2018. And these are the quislings that thought that they could have a little chuckle at the expense of Donald Trump. What he's, oh man, just go have at it, you assholes. Just have at it, whatever. Whatever.
I mean, it's just, it's absolutely ridiculous. It really
is. It's like being made fun of by eunuchs. Who cares? Go ahead. What do
you
I
know,
care?
Speaking of being made fun by eunuchs, you know, yesterday I was eating dinner very late in the day because I was at the funeral for Andrew's wife yesterday. And I was eating dinner and I got a text message that said, Tracy, the president retweeted you.
Oh, Tracy, when you send this to me, it took me 15 seconds to even just look at the screenshot and understand what has happened. And then I saw Donald J. Trump retweeted. So what, guys.
I'm just going to be honest. I dropped my fork and screamed. And everybody in my house came running because they thought that something was wrong or someone passed away or something bad happened because of the way I reacted. And then I told everyone and I was like, I just the timing of it couldn't have been better because, you know, if I wanted anybody to be looking at what I'm saying, today would be the day in the foreseeable future, right? Mm-hmm. With the analysis that I'm intending on doing on this FISA report, the more people looking at my Twitter feed, the better we are, in my opinion.
Well, what is there, can you tell us anything definitive about the kind of boost that because I don't know anybody who's been retweeted by the president personally. I know of people who have been, but I don't. What did that do metrics wise? Like, how many eyes came down on that tweet then?
So that tweet retweeted by the president got 8,200 retweets and 18,600 likes. And if I look at my analytics on it, it got 2.2 million impressions, 132,284 total engagements, meaning how many times people interacted with it. 10,718 times I was clicked on by people. My profile was clicked on. Mm. And I only, as per this, which is, I think, nonsense, to be honest, got 6 follows from that tweet.
Well, I mean, you know that he alone is dampened down. They've thrown whatever kind of subtle wet blanket they can over the president's reach, too. I mean, you're talking about an account with 66 million subscribers and whatever if it's a good tweet, he'll get 100,000 hearts. Get out.
Well, it was. I mean, it's a huge honor. It's a huge honor. I don't know how he found the tweet. I don't know. It was about Devin Nunes' lawsuit into CNN, which we'll talk about today for a few minutes. But the reason why I brought it up now is because, of course, given the president's retweet, I got flooded with ridiculous trolling and people making fun of my eyebrows and like how fat I am and, you know, all the nonsense that comes along with the presidential retweet, which is all fine and dandy, but of course, now I'm getting some of the more like statuous media figures tweeting out things that are not true about me, like retweeting the NBC article that Zdrozny wrote about me in last year or 2 years ago. And, you know, I'm a QAnon follower and all the noise. Nevertheless, I've not followed QAnon or tweeted about or talked about QAnon for like 2 years now, a little less, 1 year and what? 15 months.
Were you in on the hit of Frankie Boy, the mafia don out in Staten Island too? Were you part of that, Tracy? Just come out with it now.
Frank, listen, we talked about this already, okay?
Leave it alone.
Just let it go.
I'm actually going to bring that up tonight. You know it's back in the news?
Yeah, I know. Listen, the bottom line is this. I don't really care what any of these people say about Q or this conspiracy theory or what you believe about it, whether you believe it's true, whether you don't believe it's true. It doesn't really matter. The fact of the matter is that this president is retweeting everyday Americans to show their perspective to the world and to show like independent journalists who are working, show their work to the world. I don't think there's been a White House who's interacted one-on-one with the American people more than this in history. This is a president who's walking amongst us instead of above, like hovering above us. And he's interacting with people. And if the left wants to come at me about Q, of all the things in the world they could pick, bring it on, bitches. I'm right here.
Hey, well, this is what I said, the most important thing that he can do.
Yeah.
Even if he lost all legislative support and it was just him and the Oval Office and his Twitter for the next 1 to 6 years or 1 to 5 years, whatever the hell it is, as long as he continues to break apart the concentrated power of the media, going on podcasts, thrusting new voices and thinkers and historians and anybody out there into the public eye, just introducing a new generation of educators and I don't know, hosts, people who are not part of networks, people whose brands are their own. It's so much easier. That's why I say the worst thing that can ever do right now is to have the emergence of a new network, because then you can attack anybody. You can attack an entire group of people by keeping them in the same pen. You know, oh, okay, if you have a couple of people who are worth their weight in gold working for Fox News, it's so much easier just to snipe all of them at once by say they work for Fox by just denigrating the network.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes so much more of a task to go after people who are, you know, standing on their own islands and just speaking for themselves. And you got to disperse all that that attention. I think that that's why this decentralization of all things, whether it be the economy, whether it be the regulatory state, everything, decentralization is what was actually made this country special in the first place. So to decentralize everything we can, whether it's in media or elsewhere, that's where it's at. And there you are. You're a recipient of some of that much needed emphasis. And we've seen it time and time again. So I'm glad that you got a shot to the arm.
Yeah, it was great and an honor. Again, a very big honor. Very big honor.
Hey, speaking of impeachment, though, what about this Lutsenko once again stressing how Yovanovitch perjured herself to Congress?
Yeah. OAN is doing a fantastic job with this.
Oh, hell yeah. Went on out there and got the, because remember, we were talking about this on air a couple of weeks ago. The reason why that crazy route that they took in that hearing with Yovanovitch to ask about whether or not it was, well, I don't know, debunked or a lie that she never gave a list of do not prosecute names to Lutsenko. They were able to push that lie on account of the technicality that she didn't actually hand over a list of names.
Right.
Yes. He had the pen. He had the paper. And she dictated the names. And that is how desperate the media is of actually helping craft this story.
You want to talk about desperation, Frank?
Yeah, I do.
This clip just came out. This is the Democrat star witness today. This is their counsel. Are you ready? This is something here.
And all the members. Before I had the great honor of being a counsel for this committee, my young son asked me a question. He said, Dad, does the president have to be a good person? Like no. Many questions by young children, it had a certain clarity, but it was hard to answer. I said, son, it is not a requirement that the president be a good person. But that is the hope. And it is not a requirement that the president be a good person. That is not why we are here today. That is not the issue. But the very document that created the awesome presidency and its powers that we have made clear.
They're literally talking about impeaching him because he's a bad person.
Yeah, and of course, the document that created the powers that the president has made clear what? Because the Constitution did not give the modern presidency 90% of the powers that it has. The executive branch, the executive branch as it is today is an abomination. These people, they keep talking about the Constitution. I don't understand. They know that they're talking to stupid people. They just know that they're talking to stupid people and they can say whatever they want. It's almost like Idiocracy. I keep bringing up this movie because it's more and more relevant today.
Which is crazy.
It's like Idiocracy, where when Luke Wilson is, it's 500 years later and everybody is a knuckle-dragging moron. And Luke Wilson gets arrested and he's in line to get processed at the prison. And he's just an average intelligence guy in 1999 or whatever the hell it is. But 500 years later, he's like the smartest man on earth. And he's online to be processed here at the prison. And he's wondering, how the hell can I break out of here? And he merely walks up to the prison guard. And he says, "Hey, I'm on the wrong line. I was supposed to be getting out of prison today." And the guy goes, "Oh, well, you're supposed to be over there." And he just walks out of prison. That's how stupid people are now. Where it's just, you can tell everybody the Constitution, and people have not heard anything of truth about what the Constitution even is and what it's supposed to limit. And it severely limits what these creeps in government can do on a day-to-day basis. That's the only limitations it puts down, which is why it's only an idiot, someone who has been very, very pointedly been made into an idiot, okay, an imbecile, can actually sit here and listen to somebody like Nancy Pelosi, who by and large represents a party whose entire platform would disappear overnight if they actually cared about the Constitution. Nothing that
they couldn't do literally anything. Like
nothing.
No.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Can't do anything.
Let's do this.
They don't have a party. They are a local. They become a hyper-local party if they actually cared about the Constitution, because on a federal level, none of it is allowed.
A couple things. To your point, I have a neighbor here in my area who had a little Christmas get together on Friday night or Saturday night. So I went over there for a little while and we got to talking about some things, and we were talking about the water quality here. And she is a liberal and I am a conservative, and we've never had a political discussion before, but we ended up obviously getting into politics because she said they're gutting the EPA in the Trump administration. She didn't know what politics I followed. She goes, "They're gutting the EPA in the Trump administration. They're completely gutting all this stuff and blah, blah, blah." And I said, can't the states, the individual states take up their own regulations that they want? And she goes, yes, they can. And I really think that would be better.
Good.
And I said, right? She has no idea what my politics are. I said, wouldn't it be better? Because, the federal government doesn't know what people in Wyoming versus what people in, Kansas want, right? So why wouldn't we want the state government to be able to make those decisions? At least then we have some input into them.
Yeah, without the EPA, who else would turn the Colorado River yellow?
I mean, no, but you're right. But we didn't even get into all that. But the point is, she understood that local is better. And then she said, "Well, we're in South Carolina. There is no way that they're going to make any regulation on." And I said, "Well, here, you got two options, right? We could either stay here and try to affect some change, and maybe there are some issues we can work on conservatives with, or you could just go to another state like New York or California, where liberals rule the land." And live there. And she said, "The taxes."
It's
perfect.
It is perfect if you're trying to make it into a teachable moment for someone else.
Right.
If someone else was observing this conversation you had with your neighbor and they understood where you were leading them and how there really is, when you talk about liberal and conservative, it really disappears when you talk about common sense.
Yeah.
And that you actually see that the political divides that have been put in place is really just to separate somebody from common sense. And well, who does it help though? If she's sitting there and she's having very, very independent conservative ideas, but she mislabels it, who does it help?
I know. And you know, the funny thing is that I said to her, you know, I said in full disclosure, I'm a conservative and I am very, you know, active in politics. And I said, I know thousands of conservatives who care very much about the environment. And I think that the notion that they don't is irresponsible because nobody wants dirty water to drink, right? Nobody. I don't care if you're conservative or you're a liberal. No, that's one thing I think both parties can work together on. Not both parties in Republican and Democrat, both parties in the people. That's one thing they can work together on is let's get our neighborhood water cleaned up. And whether that means that we have to pressure the local government to make sure that their water facilities are adhering to the more stringent standards that we require, or it means that we have to bring in a private company to maybe help to do the water, you know, the water filtration or whatever we have to do. I think that both of us would be in agreement that nobody wants to drink dirty water. So it's just, how do we get there? What's the better way? And it was a really good conversation. It really was. It was great. And we left and I gave her a big hug and it was peace and love and harmony because two adults had a conversation based in common sense and not insults. Amazing.
And you guys were able to have the conversation without Don Lemon being a mediator.
Yes, we were.
As long as the Don Lemons are there to tell everybody how to interpret even the questions you're asking as being racist or bigoted or short-sighted in some way, you actually are allowed to take the training wheels off and go for a ride with a friend.
You mean you're allowed to converse with your fellow man?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, let's do something interesting because if you couldn't tell, guys, I have a lot of clips that we could go through, but I'm kind of keeping today's show light a little bit because you know what's going to happen on Wednesday?
What?
It's going to be completely packed full of analysis. Mm-hmm. And there's a hearing Wednesday.
Right.
Now, I'm seeing random people spouting off here that there's some delay with the IG report. I'm not seeing that from anywhere official at all. Literally, I don't think it's true. Yeah, it's all bullshit. People are starting rumors on purpose. Okay, so what I wanted to do is go again live to the impeachment farce and see what they're saying. What do you think?
Sure.
Report over the weekend arguing that contrary to the chairman's statement in 1998, impeachment is not undoing it, an election. I would just respond by saying that I don't think many of the 63 million Americans from all around the country who voted for President Trump in 2016 would agree. By impeaching President Trump, the House would essentially be nullifying the decision of those Americans.
How many times are you going to say the same thing? Focus on the facts in this thing, which there are none. I did a whole thread the other day, Frank, about like the predicate of this. The remember how this all started? Do you remember?
What?
The whole impeachment thing.
I mean, with Ukraine?
Yeah.
Ukraine, yeah.
It started with the quote whistleblower coming forward with a whistleblower complaint that went to the IG of the intelligence community and then went to Schiff. In that complaint, he said all kinds of things about asking for favors, going after Joe Biden, all kinds of stuff. And it was pages long and it looked like it was tons of hearsay and no direct knowledge. And President Trump released the transcript, which completely, completely negated the whistleblower report because none of it was true, right?
Right.
It's akin to if you were to have your friend call you up in the morning and be like, Frank, oh my God, Joe Schmo down the street robbed First National Bank last night. And then you went to the cops and said, Joe Schmo over here robbed First National Bank last night and my friend told me. And then the police go and investigate and they grab the tapes from the bank. But Joe Schmo wasn't even at the bank at all. And then instead of saying, guys, you're completely wrong here, just let's enough, okay? And dismissing it, they take it to trial. They don't allow Joe Schmo to have his lawyer. They don't allow the tape to be evidence. And they bring in, you know, your friend, you, or not you, you're not allowed to come in, but your friend and all of his friends that heard from him, that heard from someone else, that you robbed the bank. And they go through the whole trial, and then you're sitting there at the end like, that's what they're doing. It's exactly what they're doing right now.
Well, and it plays into that that clip we were just talking about there, that, yeah, impeachment in itself is not the undoing of an election. If there is an actual crime that's committed by a president or something like that along the way of their along the way of their term, of course. I mean, I guess you can say it undid the result of it took an elected representative out of a public office. Yeah, but that's not what the hell it is. In this case, they are undoing. No, not necessarily even undoing an election from 3 years ago. It's very, very obvious, especially with the statements that Jerry Nadler and Al Green and other people have put on out there. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Nancy Pelosi herself. They've all been telling everybody in so many words, we're trying to prevent 2020.
Yeah.
So it's not at this point, if this was his second term and we have 1 year left and he was going to be out in less than 12 months, there would be no impeachment. There would be no impeachment efforts here. This isn't really even about reversing 2016 at this point. This is a preventative measure because, once again, 7 million jobs. 7 million jobs.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, and this is that's just the way. This is all about election prevention at this point. It's not good. It's not. I mean, it's not very strong.
I know. No, and there are so many things I could say. You know what just happened, Frank? Too, Owen Schroyer. Owen Schroyer is being escorted out of the impeachment hearing by police. You ready to hear?
Oh yeah. Man, Alex Jones has rubbed off on him very well. I will give it to Owen. He'll just come out and say it, man. He will. I could never bring myself to do that. I would be too shy. But he just jumps on into the pool. Go for it. Hmm. He was at the walkaway.
Yes, he was.
Thing. I shook his hand, I think.
Yeah, he did. I remember because I was standing there.
But other than that, I tell you, I love watching Owen Schroyer work. The guy, he will just stand in the middle of a crowd and not care about from every angle, people shouting things at him. And he'll just have a smile on his face, just revels in it. It's like he jumped into the ball pit in Burger King. He's just having a great time.
Yeah, we've got to see now. We've got to see now what happens with his Twitter account. Hold on one second. I'm paused. Okay. I think we should jump back into the live hearing.
Okay.
Mr. Cicilline votes aye. Mr. Swalwell.
Aye.
Mr. Swalwell votes aye. Mr. Liu.
Aye.
Mr. Liu votes aye. Mr. Raskin.
Aye.
Mr. Raskin votes aye. Ms. Jayapal.
Aye.
Ms. Jayapal votes aye. Ms. Demme.
Her face. Her little smushed up face, Jayapal.
That's another Goomba face.
Yeah.
She's got the Goomba face. Tlaib has a Goomba face.
Yep.
It looks like the Goombas from the live action Mario film from the 90s.
Look, there's so much more that we can mock them about. But
what are they voting on right now?
I don't know. Let's
Ms. Demings votes aye, Mr. Correa. Ms. Scanlon.
Some people aren't there on the left.
Ms. Garcia.
Aye.
Ms. Garcia votes aye. Mr. Neguse.
Aye.
Mr. Neguse votes aye. Ms. McBath.
Aye.
Ms. McBath votes aye. Mr. Stanton.
Aye.
I don't know what they're... Let me see if I can figure out what they're voting on. But there's a... Oh, here we go.
Decision, the chair. You ruled against his point of order because you said that Mr. Burke...
I'm going to go back.
Master was here with Mr. Burke presenting the report.
Bear with us, guys.
Gentleman yields back. Thank you both for your presentations. Mr. Burke, you are now excused, and we will invite Mr. Goldman to take his place at the witness table.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman.
Here we go.
Mr. Chairman.
Who seeks your... What purpose does the gentleman seek recognition?
I have a parliamentary inquiry.
General of State is parliamentary inquiry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pursuant to Rule 7B of the House rules, the chairman is allowed to administer an oath, not mandated to, but it has been the practice of this committee to administer oaths to witnesses. I'm wondering why we have not administered the oath in this situation.
I'm going to administer the oath to the two witnesses who are now coming up before us to make presentation. The two gentlemen who just testified were not witnesses. They were staff. They were making opening statements for the committees. We will now administer an oath to Mr. Castor and Mr. Goldman, who are now testifying in the capacity of witnesses.
But typically, we administer oaths before opening statements.
Which we will... No, for witnesses. For witnesses. Mr. Castor, we will now administer...
I wonder why he's concerned about that.
Just so that everything that somebody goes up there and grandstands about will is subject to...
Well, why? They never charge anybody with that crap anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's ultimately, that's the other thing that gets me pissed off. How many times, I mean, well, like we said before, it's pretty much confirmed that Yovanovitch committed perjury, or at least there's something there that could be pursued. Kavanaugh hearing was full of, rife with perjury.
I know, Blasey Ford should be in jail. Even Tim Pool is saying, I think he'll be a conservative by the end of the year. This is an effing clown show. Nadler got called out and it's his own effing fault. Such stupid BS. I don't know what just happened. Something else must have just happened to them. This is just something else, I swear. I know today's show, guys, is a little bit off the cuff and a little bit different, and I did have a plan for it, but this is much more fun.
Well, you think about how provocative these people need to be right now. There's got to be something provocative that happens today. I mean, they're a couple hours away from something that is not going to help them in the least bit. I mean, even let's say that the Inspector General report turns out to be underwhelming. It's not going to help them. I mean, so they've got to lay down cover fire for a number of things today.
Yeah. Yep.
Tim Pool. Gotta get Tim back in my studio. I don't know. He's been real tough to get back in.
Well, I mean, you know.
He will be. I mean, he needs to be. As far as conservative liberal goes, man, oh man,
he's a case study.
Oh, he's getting there.
Yeah,
he's getting there.
The guy that tweeted about me this morning talking about Q was a Media Matters guy.
Oh, was it David Brock in a Party City mask?
It was Alex Kaplan. Bring it, bitches! Bring it. Sorry.
Yeah,
you know, if this would have happened,
took a break from raising money to find sexual assault accusers for Donald Trump.
Yep. You know, if this was like a year ago and this happened, I'd be so upset and sad right now. I'm just loving it. And I love everyone. I love all you guys, too, because you want to know why? Everyone, Frank, think of the difference that all of us collectively are making in how the history of this unfolds moving forward. I mean, everybody, not just me and you. I mean, everybody out there, all of us together. It is beautiful what's happening right now. It's beautiful.
All I know is no matter what happens, the alternative, the storytelling, the retelling of the history now is going to be firmly on the shoulders of people who cannot be controlled.
Yes.
That's the one thing we can say, that no matter what the hell happens, there's going to be more than one voice retelling the story of our history from now on. And that's something that I'm very happy about.
It is a beautiful and amazing time to be alive. And every one of you out there putting one foot in front of the other and doing the work to either share information or however you do it, right? Your voices are so important. Like, I know that, you know, there are bad things happening. There's no doubt. And there's times where we get really frustrated and really down. But no matter what happens, This is one army that they just can't beat. There are too many of us, and we're too damn smart. Damn it. Yes. And we said, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
That's it.
I want you all to stand up.
Open up your windows.
Let's play it.
It's a long one. Every once in a while, I'll play that. The full thing is like 4 minutes long.
Oh, no. I'm just going to play the end where he's like, here we go. Oh, it's 3 minutes and 40.
I have to tell you things are bad. Yep. You gotta get mad. I'm not gonna take this anymore. You gotta get mad. Just open the window, stick your head out and yell and say, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not gonna take this anymore.
Who are you talking to, Hank?
CGG Atlanta.
Are they yelling at...
Open it and stick your head out and yell and keep yelling. I'm...
Damn right.
Yeah.
Everybody open up your virtual window.
Hong Kong hears you.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I'll trade. Let's bring Hong Kong here. Let's get rid of LA. Let's bring Hong Kong over here. Let's get rid of Portland and Austin. And
can we bring all of them over here? There'd be that's a few refugees I'd like.
That'd be great.
Let's get them all. All of them.
Hong Kong would, I'll tell you one thing. Hong Kong, if we brought Hong Kong to New York, we might be able to flip the state.
Yeah. And what we could do is we could take all the New Yorkers that are like the people from China and send them over to Hong Kong where they'd be happy to live like that.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what they want. That's what they're looking for. Uh-oh. Richard Barris says that Shiat is getting ugly in the battleground states for Democrats.
Professional.
And if anyone's in a position to know, it's Richard Barris.
Oh, yes, it is. We got to bring him back on for a progress report.
Yeah. Here's one thing I wanted to talk about, Frank.
Okay.
Lindsey Graham.
Yep. I know where you're going.
He doesn't want to call Schiff as a witness. And he doesn't want to subpoena Schiff's phone records because he's worried about a precedent that he might set.
What? I don't understand why anybody would be worried about setting precedents at this point.
I mean, that's what I said. I actually commented on the RNC's tweet of Lindsey Graham and said, look, enough is enough of this nonsense. We want accountability. And whoever's gone because they're caught up in this nonsense. I said, the GOP under Graham is letting these people get away with this. This entire thing was started by a leaker who had no correct information. If you guys don't fix this, it's going to keep happening. The American people demand accountability, and that includes Adam Schiff testifying. Here, I have the clip here. I'm going to find it because I think we should listen to it.
Sure.
Yeah. Hold on. Okay, here we go.
Legitimate in the House. It's not just a whistleblower. You don't want to create a situation where an anonymous person can start impeachment proceedings against the President of the United States. You can't get a parking ticket based on an anonymous allegation. The hearings were held behind closed doors. The Intel Committee gathered all the facts. The President's lawyer was never allowed to participate. They asked to call witnesses in the Judiciary Committee. They had one hearing in the committee with four law professors, and Nancy Pelosi said, we're going to move forward with the articles of impeachment. This is a joke of a process. It's dangerous to the country. It's the first impeachment scenario in the country started in-house, not with outside counsel. Whitewater prosecutor Ken Starr. You had Mueller looking at all things Russia and Trump. You had prosecutors in the Nixon case outside the system. This is being driven by Schiff and Nadler, Pelosi, partisan people. I think it's going to meet a quick end in the Senate.
He wants it to meet a quick end in the Senate, Frank. You want to know why?
Why?
Because if any real witnesses are allowed to come in, there's going to be a lot more exposed than just Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi.
And it's not just going to be Democrats.
No, it's not.
And that's the whole point here. It's why I said over and over again, we have to expect that there is going to be head scratchers and feelings of betrayal along the way, because there are so many types of people who are trying to survive this presidency. So many types of people. And if they wear red ties, they're trying to play along the best they can, be as supportive as they can on the surface, but pump the brakes in very strategic places and just try to give people just enough flesh. Just enough flesh for them to be appeased. And this is one of those guys. Yeah. I don't trust him.
No, me neither. And I wish I could. I really do, because part of me looks at him and I'm like, he's a good person, right? And then part of me looks at him and is like, no, he's not. What the hell is wrong with you? I don't know. I mean, I know he was wrapped up in some really nasty stuff and he's accepted money from Soros. And, you know, he's been a part of the swamp for a long time. I've done these videos of him before McCain passing and after McCain passing. There's a problem here. And I really think that they really were trying to keep this from going to the Senate and weren't able to. And now I don't know what they're going to do. Like, is he going to end it quickly? Is he not? And that's it. That's all I got to say on that. Nunes is suing CNN. That's what I want to close with. Nunes's case. This is the tweet that President Trump retweeted of mine. He opens up, Frank, he opens up his lawsuit calling CNN the mother of all fake news.
Well, got that right.
Yeah. It's the lawsuit itself is, he has a chart in here where it says what CNN said, and it says CNN, and in parentheses it says fake news. And on the right it says the truth. And underneath he says all the things that CNN said that aren't true, and then all the things that CNN says, or all the factual information to prove that. And the fact of the matter is that Adam Schiff has been talking to Les Parnas, trying to pull information out of him in return for a week, a plea deal of some kind or some kind of lifeline. Add this to the same thing that, like, the Nader case, and how George Nader, they hit his pedophilia for how many months, and now he's in jail, and they charged him with more stuff, the campaign finance violations and stuff, where this wasn't some little thing, Frank, where, you know, these people were millions and millions of dollars into the Clinton coffers, having personal one-on-one meetings with her.
Yep, and only when she lost, they slipped a really sly $1 million into the Trump inaugural fund.
Amen. Amen. Right.
And then what he started doing as the unofficial liaison to the Middle East started introducing people and creating the clouds of suspicion around people like Eric Prince, and there's a lot. He got involved in a lot of really interesting things afterwards. So they always, I mean, you always see people playing both sides of any story, so that there's a play on the table. And you can always go one way or another, but it's all right out there now.
It is all right out there.
Especially since this guy had you talking about letting him slide for months. I mean, for him to have the sexual deviant appetites that he has, and that for his entire life, the only bid he ever did in jail was 6 months in 1991 for child pornography. Meanwhile, this guy is not only traveling with children that he intended to abuse, but he was in constant possession of child pornography, bestiality, all that other stuff. He only served 6 months in 1991. You're telling me that the same network that insulated people like Jeffrey Epstein and Keith Raniere was not insulating George Nader? Mm. Get out of here.
No, and I mean, how many other people could he have?
And meanwhile, all of those people, all those operations were busted up during this presidency.
Yep. Yeah. And people forget that sometimes when they talk about the Justice Department. I just, this is the thing. It's like the depravity of Weissman to allow this man to be, how could you even take his testimony as something, you know, he's a criminal. How do you even take his testimony legitimately? It's bizarre world. Let's close out the show with another live listen to the farce of impeachment hearings that are going on.
Investigation testified that there was any factual support for this allegation. To the contrary,
A unanimous assessment of the U.S. intelligence community found that Russia alone interfered in the 2016 U.S. election. And Special Counsel Mueller, who indicted 12 Russians for this conspiracy, testified before Congress that the Russian government interfered in the 2016 presidential election in sweeping and systematic fashion.
Okay, so now here we go. Not only are we ditching the Ukraine story, we're trying to now impeach him for obstruction of justice in the Mueller probe that they couldn't pull off months ago when Mueller was sitting there like a blabbering fool in front of the committee. But they're also trying to say that if one country interferes in our election, no other countries on the planet are allowed because they staked a claim to it. Are you freaking serious right now? These people are idiots.
And they call dibs. Come on. Respect dibs.
As a Russian bot myself, I should be defending Mother Russia with a Russian daughter named Helga. Of all things, what should I be doing? But I think Ukraine gave Russia a run for their money, in my opinion, in more ways than one.
Oh, yeah.
You guys have been listening to an energetic IG Report Monday edition of the Dark Delight podcast with
Monday Morning Val and
Beans.
Dude.
You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple iTunes, our iHeartRadio, and RadioInfluence.com. We will be back on Wednesday.
Later.
Radio Influence strives to bring you excellence in podcasting. We work with personalities like TV chef Brian Duffy, radio personalities like Ian Beckles, news and political pundits like independent journalists Frank and Tracy Beans, experts from the sports world like veteran football scout and coach Chris Landry, pro wrestling personality David Penzer, MMA experts Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan, and strength and conditioning coach Jeff Crochelle. If you're looking for food, sports, music, entertainment, politics, no matter the topic, Radio Influence has something for everyone. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.